Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12, where Pastor Daniel has been speaking on the subject of the beauty of the gospel, the beautiful story of the gospel. Ever since our mission conference back in January, he's been going through, taking us through a journey, and looking at how many beautiful stories there are. And I'm privileged this morning to share with you one of those themes that God's put on my heart to share with you today. I trust it'll be a blessing to every one of you. I trust that you will actually be able to do what I'm going to speak on today, and that is to see Jesus, because he's got something wonderful for you. He cares about you deeply, and no matter what your situation is, there's some good things in store for you. In John chapter 12, we have this interesting story of these Greeks that came with a request. And we pick up the story in John chapter 12, in verse 20. There were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. What a beautiful request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." We would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the beauty of seeing Jesus. Pastor opened the service this morning when we began by reading out of Psalm 34 in verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. This morning I'm going to talk to you about how can we see Jesus. How can we see Jesus? There's an interesting verse I want to use before I get into the meat of the message, per se. And that's the verse out of Hebrews 11:27. It's always been one of the most intriguing verses in all of the Bible to me. And it ties in with this subject. So I'll read it to you. It's talking of Moses. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. How great is that? He saw the one who was invisible. Yesterday, Frank wanted to tell me a little joke. He said, "Did you hear about the invisible man who married the invisible woman?" He said, "Their children were nothing to look at either." So, anyway. He saw him who is invisible. If he's invisible, how can you see him? By faith. Jesus would tell Thomas after the resurrection, when Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," he would say to Thomas, "Blessed are you because you see and you believe, but blessed beyond that are those who do not see and yet believe." That would be us this morning. We do not physically see Jesus, but we can see the invisible, and we can see the resurrected Jesus, and we can see him in his glory, and we can see him in our lives, and we can see him in our church. So this morning I'm going to talk to you about six keys to seeing Jesus. I'm persuaded that if we do these things, we will see Jesus. You will see Jesus. Not physically, not as he walked the streets of Galilee, but you will see Jesus. And seeing Jesus in our life is the key to a fulfilled and wonderful life, whatever we're doing. The first key to seeing Jesus is probably the most important, and I'm going to probably spend most of the time this morning on this, and that is pressing beyond the crowd. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. And Luke 19 is one of my favorite gospel stories. It's the story of a man that we learned about in Sunday school, if you were in Sunday school, sang songs about in Sunday school. It's a very, very interesting story. I'd like to just look at it for a moment. This is the story, Luke 19. Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, the head tax man, quite rich. He wanted desperately. I want you to see this phrasing that the Message puts this. He wanted desperately to see Jesus. But the crowd was in his way. He was a short man, and he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead. He climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. What an amazing story. Amazing. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. I have a new friend up in Indio, and he is a retired Royal Mounted Police from Canada. I guess that's, if you know Royal Mounted Police, that's where they're from. And so he's always telling stories. So I said, "What was your favorite thing you ever did in the Royal Mounted Police?" Because he did drug busts, he risked his life, he was shot at. I mean, he's gone through all kinds of things. He said, "My favorite thing," he says, "in 1976, I was a bodyguard for the Pope when the Pope came to Montreal." I said, "Tell me about it." He said, "Well, they had a Pope mobile, and it was a big vehicle, and it had a sunroof, and he stood up and he would wave." He said, "I would be on the side as one of his bodyguards, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people lined the pathway for where the Pope would go. And then he went over to the big stadium where he held a giant mass, and he was describing all of these things." And he was a Catholic man. He was raised in Montreal as a little boy, and most of the French Canadians, as you know, are raised in Catholicism. And so this was the highlight of his life. And he said, "The people were just everywhere, thousands, thousands, thousands." I'm trying to picture this because Jesus is walking. He has no bodyguards, and he has no Pope mobile. He had no Jesus mobile. He didn't get to, you know, stand and wave to the crowd out of the sunroof. He didn't have a bodyguard. Maybe the disciples were. I think that sometimes they tried to shoo the bystanders away. But people would press in on him. They were touching him and grabbing him and reaching out to him and wanting to see him. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. And he realized things real quickly. He was short. Now, if he had been at the Masters golf tournament and he was short, he can get these wonderful little, kind of like when you were a kid, these periscopes. You look through here and there's a tall thing that goes up and there's a mirror, sees a mirror, sees a mirror, and you look over the crowd. They didn't have those back in those days. But, you know, modern technology now. He didn't have that. But he wanted to see Jesus. In 2010, 2012, and 2014, the San Francisco Giants won the World Baseball Championship, and they held a ticker tape parade in San Francisco. And thousands of people lined up. Now, I was a little boy. I was a Giant fan my whole life. But I really don't like crowds. I don't think I would go to that ticker tape parade. I'm going to be honest with you, and I was honest with my friend. I wouldn't have fought the crowd to go see the Pope. Now, I've been to Montreal. It's a beautiful city. But there's no way I'm going to go stand on the sidelines and thousands of people to see the Pope or to see the Giants. I just wouldn't do it. I wonder, would I have even dared to do what Zacchaeus did? He so wanted to see Jesus, he didn't care if there was a crowd. And not only was there a crowd, everybody knew this guy, and they hated him. He was an unscrupulous guy. Everyone knew he was the head tax man. He wasn't one of the beloved friends of the city and the community. He probably didn't want to see anybody, and nobody wanted to see him. But there's a crowd. He would probably want to avoid crowds at all costs. But he wanted desperately to see Jesus. He desperately wanted to do something that drew him to Jesus Christ. He climbed up a sycamore tree, which tree people, I don't know, arbalists, something like that, say could be from 75 to 100 feet high. I don't know how far he went. Did he go 10 feet, 15, 20 feet? Doesn't matter. The thing was, Zacchaeus desperately wanted to see Jesus, and he wanted to press beyond the crowd. One of the difficult things of Christianity in the United States that has always been hard for me as a pastor is that in many times in church life, what you're trying to do is keep people pumped up from one week to another to serve God, from one week to another to kind of put band-aids in their wounds and all of those things. But there doesn't seem to be as much a cry of desperation. I need to see Jesus. When I have gone to the mission field and I have seen people that will go 24 hours on a bus, they have no car, they have no means of transportation, but they will go 24 hours on a bus to hear the Word of God and to see Jesus, I'm overwhelmed. It's just so hard for me to fathom. Zacchaeus wanted desperately to see Jesus. He didn't care what the obstacles would be. He was going to find a way to see Jesus. Now, why this is all going on, Jesus, of course, knows everything. He comes to the tree. He can see up in the tree. And he calls him out by name. Zacchaeus, get out of the tree. I want to go to lunch with you. What an amazing gospel story. Now, if Jesus Christ saw the desperation in this unscrupulous tax man, how much more does he see the desperation in our life when we get to the place, I need to see Jesus? But if we don't need to see Jesus, we don't want to see Jesus, well, I could take it or leave it. I church, and I could take it or leave it. The Bible, I could take it or leave it. Jesus, you know, whatever, it's all right. If there's not that desperation, I doubt that Jesus is calling us out of the tree, because we're not going to be in the tree. We're not going to be pressing in with the crowd. We have got to go beyond the crowd if you want to see Jesus Christ. If you want to really know the Bible and truth and Jesus and deliverance and healing and life and forgiveness, if you really want to know, you have to press beyond the crowd. And Zacchaeus is a perfect example of that. All the Pharisees, all the who's who of the religious, of the leaders of the day, were chastising him. What's this? A tax collector is going to go to have lunch with a tax collector? And in that story that unfolds in Luke 19, the Zacchaeus has such a change of heart. An encounter with Jesus really will bring a change of heart. His heart changed, his life changed, his actions changed. He restored whatever he had defrauded people. There was a total change in this Zacchaeus because he desperately wanted to see Jesus. And when you desperately want to see Jesus, Jesus will find you in the tree looking for him. If you desperately want to see Jesus, he will know where you are and he will reveal himself to you. If you desperately, going beyond the crowd, want an encounter with Jesus Christ, you will find him because he sees you all the time. And oh, how he wants to have you open the door to his knock. Oh, how he wants you to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Forgive me, change me, I am yours. My point is this, going beyond the crowd, am I willing to leave my comfort zone to zone in on seeing Jesus? Zacchaeus left every comfort behind. The fear of the people, the fear of the antagonism of the people, going beyond the crowd, climbing up a tree, desperation seeing Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. But sometimes we are just complacent. I'll just be comfortable. I don't want to go the extra mile. I don't want to press in. I don't want to just have to go and pray. I don't want to really read the Bible. I don't want to really see Jesus. Well, that's what happens. I'll tell you, if you really want to see Jesus, you really zone in on him, you'll leave the comfort zone and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to follow after you. Zacchaeus is that example. Am I willing to press beyond the crowd? All right, I told you I'm going to give you six keys. That's only one key. Second key. Besides pressing beyond the crowd, we have to look at Calvary, not circumstances. In Hebrews 2, it says this, there's a place and someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that's not subject to them. Yet, at the present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. If we see the things that are not victorious in our life, if we see the problems, if we see the difficulties, if we see the unanswered prayers, we won't see Jesus. To see Jesus means we have to see beyond the situation of our life that we feel defeated in. And we say, where is God in all this? About a month ago, some of our college kids went over to Hawaii, and they served there. Jordan led them and did a great job. I'd like to have Jordan come up here for a moment, wherever he is. Are we willing to look at Calvary? Are we willing to look? What do you have there? You have something? Yeah, just go stand over there. All right. We go look at Calvary. We have to look at Calvary. Hold your hand out. All right. Now, if we're looking at Calvary, we see Jesus. We see the cross. We see the gospel. We see the Bible. We see the stories. We read them over and over and over again. That's how we see Jesus. But what happens in our life is we tend to look at circumstances, and all of a sudden, we will begin to look at problems. Now, what Jordan's holding out there, that represents just a problem. It's just an envelope. It represents a problem. And here's how it works in our life. You see, every one of us have problems. Every one of us go through circumstances. Every one of us go through difficulties, trials, or whatever term you want to use. I'll call it a problem. And if I'm looking at the gospel, if I'm looking at the Bible, if I'm looking at Jesus, I will say, oh, what's that? Oh, I have a problem. Yeah, I've got problems, but, you know, I'm still going to focus on Jesus. But here's what we eventually do, if we're not careful. We say, what is that? That's a problem. That's a problem. Pretty soon, look at the problem. And we're looking not away from the gospel. And we see the problem. We see the problem. And now, when I'm over here, that problem is pretty small. But the closer I get to this, that problem gets bigger. And it gets bigger. And it gets bigger. And then I've seen this over and over again. What happens eventually is we're so consumed with the problem. Thank you for your help. Door three. Pretty soon what happens is this problem is this. This is all I can see. This problem is so huge. This problem is so gigantic. Pastor, how can I pray? How can I believe? How can I read the Bible? Why should I go to church? All I can see is this problem. You see, what has happened is I become so focused on the problem, it's much bigger than it was just out here. Every one of us have some peripheral problems. Every one of us. And we'll have them until we die. And then we have no more problems. But until then, we're going to have problems. But those problems are nothing towards, in comparison with the magnitude of the cross of seeing Jesus. So how do you see Jesus? Don't focus on your problem. Don't get it so big in your life that it's insurmountable. Don't be staring at the problem all the time. Look instead at Jesus. Look at his promises. Look at the exceeding great and precious promises that God's given to us his word. If you become a student and a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, and you stay in his word, you're not going to focus on those problems. I'm not telling you you won't have them. You're going to have plenty. But in comparison with the cross of Calvary, there is no comparison. And so I see Jesus when I stay focused on the cross and not on the problem. Third way we see Jesus. Oh, so don't let unreached victories in your life keep you from seeing Jesus. Don't let your problems keep you from Jesus. This third point is much what we did this morning and every Sunday morning. I appreciate our worship team. I appreciate our musicians. I appreciate those who pray and prepare. But I'll tell you this, by being involved in worship is how you see Jesus. Being involved in worship. That doesn't mean you're involved necessarily playing the guitar or the bass or the drums or the keyboard. But being involved as a worshiper, regardless of what song they're singing or regardless of the chorus or regardless if it's your favorite song or not, when we come to worship, we must worship because when we worship Him, we see Him. In Isaiah chapter 6, the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord because he was high. He was lifted up. He was seated on the throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. Each had six wings. With two wings they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet. With two they were flying, and they called one to another, as we sang this morning, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. When you see Jesus in worship, everything else pales. If you don't really worship, though, if it's just a song service, if it's just, you know, filler time, you're not going to see Jesus. When we come to worship, worship. Sing with your heart. Sing praises with understanding. Lift your hands. Lift your heart. As Lamentations says, we lift up our heart with our hands. How else can we lift our heart to the Lord? We lift up our heart with our hands to the Lord. I will lift up my hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Oh, come, magnify the Lord with me. When we worship him and see holy, holy, holy is the Lord, we see him. Isaiah was undone. Isaiah was changed. Isaiah was transformed because he saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, all he could see was the worship. When you go to the book of Revelation and you want to see what's happening, all you see is worship. They cast their crowns before him, and they cry glory and honor and power and wisdom and strength to the one who sits on the throne, to the Lamb of God. Worship, glory, honor, power, blessing. The 24 elders fall down and they worship, because we're created to worship. We're created to praise him. When we worship God, we see Jesus. When we're in this, and every time we come together, church, every Sunday, every time we have a chorus, every time we meet together and a song is sung, don't just sing the words, don't just mouth the words. Worship him and you'll see him. Love him and you'll see him. How do we see Jesus? By not looking at circumstances, by looking at Calvary, and by being involved in worship. In true worship, you will see Jesus every time, because he is there. For in the midst of the church, he sings praises with us. For he inhabits the praises of his people. All these wonderful verses. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A fourth way we see Jesus is by seeing worldwide revival. I'm going to tell you this right now. If all we see is CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, social media, if that's all we see, we won't see Jesus. You will not see Jesus. But if you can see what God is doing on all the earth, because he's doing great things, you'll see Jesus. Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes. This is so great. We sang, open the eyes of my heart this morning. Lift up your eyes and look about you. See the big picture. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from far. Your daughters are carried on the hip. You will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, and the riches of the nations will come. What is Isaiah prophesying? What he is saying is, don't look at the darkness and the cloud of covering over the world, but see the brightness of what the Lord is doing. If I just follow the news only, and I have nothing wrong with following the news, we should be up to date on current events. We should know what's happening in the world, and we should be concerned. However, the thing that where I see Jesus is not in the news. It's when I hear the reports of what God is doing, where multitudes are coming to Jesus Christ. For every individual that is born again, when a new person is born again and baptized in the church, or when thousands are coming to the Lord in South America, or in Africa, or in China, or in Europe, where God is moving, where God changes lives. I become radiant and see Jesus when I am in touch with what he's doing in the earth. That's why, church, this is a mission church. That's why we give so much to missions. That's why we have missionaries in. That's why we always want to hear from missionaries, because when they tell us what's going on in their sphere of service, our eyes are lifted up and we see Jesus. We get excited because, wow, the kingdom's bigger than our little world. The kingdom's bigger than our little church. The kingdom's bigger than our little city. Jesus Christ is building his church, and all nations are being touched by the gospel of Christ. And today, in 2018, there are more Christians on the face of the earth than any time in the face of history. And all the world, God's moving. God's doing great things. But we tend to sometimes just internalize it just out of the sphere of our small circle. And we don't see that. And we just say, oh, what's happening in the world? What's happening in our nation? What's happening? And yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to me until I see what God's doing in the nations of the world. So keep your ear to the ground, so to speak, on what God's doing in the world, in the nations, and missions, and people turning to the Lord. Because when I see that God is working in the earth, salvation in the midst of the earth, I see Jesus. I really do. And as much as I want to be an informed citizen, I don't see Jesus if I'm just looking at the carnal things of our life. I got to see beyond. So that's the fourth way. Number five, if we want to see Jesus, we must maintain a pure heart. If you get sin, secret sin, presumptuous sin, hidden sin, overt sin, if you get that, start controlling your life, you're going to lose sight of Jesus Christ. Here's two verses to consider. In Hebrews 12, 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. There's something connected with living a holy life and seeing the Lord. It's connected with living righteously and seeing the Lord. I realize we're saved by grace and by faith and not works. I realize that we're not under a law or a legalism. But I tell you this, if we allow sin to just control us or to deceive us or to twist us, we're not going to be able to see Jesus. We've got to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Give me a clean heart. Help me to see you. In Psalm 51, David recognized that his sin was preventing him from seeing the Lord. And so he prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me so that I can then again see you, that these bones that are broken might rejoice. One of the keys to seeing Jesus is to maintain an attitude of repentance and change before the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. That was a bad attitude. That was a bad word. That was a bad thought. I shouldn't have done that. Just continually say, Lord, forgive me, so that sin does not take root in our life. Because if sin takes root in our life, or bitterness takes root in our life, or unforgiveness takes root in our life, we get deceived ourselves, and pretty soon we don't see Jesus. All we see is our sin, our hardness, hard heart. These are very important keys, church, to seeing Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. So we're learning. We have to press beyond the crowd. We have to not look at circumstances. We need to worship God. We need to see revival. We need to see what he's doing in the earth. We need to maintain a pure heart. And finally, in conclusion this morning, I'll give you a sixth key to seeing Jesus Christ. And that is by beholding the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. You got to love John chapter 1. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, 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 see, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man comes after me. He has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Behold, the Lamb of God. We need to behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that forgives, that shows compassion, that cleanses the sinner, that cleanses the double-minded, that gives us a new heart, a new start, a fresh start, a new beginning. Where does all this come from? The Lamb of God. When I see the Lamb of God and his forgiveness and his compassion and his grace, like the chorus we sing sometimes, everyone needs compassion, the kindness of a Savior. When I see that, I'm seeing Jesus Christ. When I see someone through judgmental eyes, vindictive eyes, when I see someone through harsh eyes, hard eyes, I don't see Jesus Christ. I need to see Jesus high and lifted up. I need to see the Lamb of God who said, neither do I condemn them. Go and sin no more. I need to see the Jesus who said, I love you. I love you. And I love you over and over again. I need to see Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. If you, church, will follow these simple steps, though simple, many times difficult, you will see Jesus. I want this church to always love Jesus. I want you to always love and see Jesus Christ. I want you and I want myself to have the desperation that Zacchaeus had. When he saw and heard that Jesus was walking by, he desperately wanted to see Jesus. It didn't matter if there was a crowd. It didn't matter if he was short. It didn't matter if he was an unscrupulous taxman sinner. He wanted to see Jesus. It doesn't matter if we're short, if we're a sinner, or if people don't like us. If we want to see Jesus, we'll climb a tree. And Jesus will stop and he'll say, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to lunch at your house. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, forgive us for sometimes being complacent about seeing you, not willing to press in. Forgive us, Lord, for when we look at our problems and circumstances and difficulties rather than the cross. Help us to see you, Jesus. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to see you high and lifted up. We want to see the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We want to see Jesus. I pray for every person here, every adult, every child, every young person, every married person, every single person, every person that's here. I pray that they would have a desire like Zacchaeus. I pray that I would have a desire like Zacchaeus to say, I want to see Jesus. I pray that our youth, as they go off to camp this week, I pray they will see Jesus. Help each of us see Jesus high and lifted up.